Hi, church. A very good welcome to everyone here. We're so glad that you are joining us here to worship us here in Axis. And those of us in our centers, we want to welcome you as well. So, Axis here, can you help me give a big hand to the centers people just to welcome them? And also, our friends who are watching online, a warm welcome to you. I know that this is like the peak of the whole COVID season, right? And I think there are quite a number of people who are catching us online, and you are down with COVID or you're recovering and things like that. So do get well soon. We're praying for you. And do stay connected as well with the live groups. You know, we hope that you join us soon and very soon. We are starting this new series called A Brick in His House. And of course, if we talk about a new series, A Brick in His House, we definitely have bricks in the house today. And we're so glad that you're joining us. And these two ideas that we're talking about, which is to belong and to contribute, it is two ideas that you hear us talk about almost on a yearly basis because they are so crucial to our spiritual walk, to our spiritual formation, that we have to talk to you about this every single year so that we make sure that we remember why we do this. And also for many of us here, if you have yet to take the next step, to take the next step in this. So a brick in the house is really to talk about that. But beyond that, as we go into the Word, I really believe that there will be new insights and new truth that God will speak to your hearts, and God will just touch and change certain things in your heart and do a new work in you as well as we go into the Word. So one of the things that, you know, I love doing in our church is that in West Center, is that I love to welcome new visitors. So I just go around, sometimes I see new friends who are joining us. So if you're new here with us, we want to welcome you. We want to thank you for joining us, whether you're tuning online or you're joining us in our centers or you're here. Maybe it's your first time or second time just to checking us out. We're glad you are here. And one of the things that I tell people who are new, and I say that, hey, after service, right, you observe the church. This church is pretty interesting. After service, right, everyone gather in group, right, and the ushers have to chase them out of the church, you know. You know, it takes a long time to leave. They want to gather here, and they begin to talk, chit-chat, and catch up. Why? Because in our church, we call ourselves a live group church. A live group church. Because we believe that this whole idea of live group is not just a Hope Singapore idea, or rather this idea of belonging to a local church is not just a Hope Singapore's idea, but it is an idea from the Bible. And you know, during the pandemic time in the last couple of years, what tied us through the entire COVID season was the strength of the live groups. And we thank God for all the live groups and all of you that connected to live groups, you know. And some of our live groups did some interesting things that we have never done before online. We have discussion before, we worship together online. And, you know, I think the most interesting is that some live groups, they did work out online, you know. So do you remember those times? How many of you, your live group, right, exercise online together? All right, I realize the adult service not so much, right? Maybe that's the issue, right? That's why health is an issue for us, okay? So, and some of the interesting things, you know, that we do, I know some LGs, we do it. So some, we send food online to people and we just did all these things. So this whole idea of LG is not just a Hope Singapore's idea. And this whole idea of belonging to church is really something from the Bible. And today we're going to look into the scriptures to see this. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 6 is where we are beginning this two-part series, A Brick in the House, from stones into a house. From stones into a house. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. So do help me, do yourself a favor, take out your Bible, flip to it, so that when you flip to that, you will know that you will not just see the Bible as a, you don't just see our passage here as a standalone passage, but you learn to see the passage in the context of the chapter and the book. You will know what the passage really talks about more when you look at that. So let me give you some background. The book of 1 Peter was written to Christians who were being persecuted in Asia Minor. Peter was encouraging them and writing to them that, hey, you know, stand firm, persevere, endure. Why? Because we have a living hope in Jesus. And you know, we sing that song, you will find that song, the basis of that, you know, in 1 Peter chapter 1, that we have a living hope in Jesus, a hope that is not dead, it is living, a living hope. And as we continue in that, we can stand firm. Not just that, God has given us a new identity, not just individually, but corporately as well. We have a body of Christ that we belong into. We have a church that we belong into. With the family of God, we can endure all kinds of hardship in life much easier because God has built us into a spiritual house. And that's where we are in this passage here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. I want to invite everyone, you know, in our centers and here, can you join me to read this passage together with me as one church? If you're ready, on one voice, on the count of three, 1, 2, 3. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. For in Scripture it says, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So the question we are exploring today is, how does God turn every one of us from stones into house? What makes this church that we belong into, or what makes this organization, or this group of people, this group of friends and brothers and sisters that we call it, we have, what makes this group so different from any other relationship and that of the world? Number one, because God chose to build the church with Christ as the cornerstone. God chose to build the church with Christ as the cornerstone. Peter continues the thought from the previous verses. He says that as Christians, we need to grow in our faith and we need to drink spiritual milk. As we drink spiritual milk, it will nourish us. We'll grow up in our faith. We don't just come to church, but we need to grow up in our faith. And he's continuing that thought. As you come to him and as you have this intimate personal relationship with Jesus, and he calls Jesus this term called the living stone, and he goes on to elaborate on that, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him. And then after that, he quotes from Isaiah 28 verse 16. Peter refers to Jesus as the living stone. This metaphor, he refers to how God chose Jesus to be the cornerstone of the church. He goes on and draws some multiple passages, and that the Jesus that the people reject, men reject him as this rejected stone, but this stone is the one that God will establish the church on, the cornerstone. And you can see that this, how Peter elaborates on that in verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. So now, there's this stone that people reject, and they in their midst of trying to build a house, and they reject this stone. And there's this passage over there that in Isaiah, and Peter was referring to this to help us see that Jesus is that living stone, or rather the cornerstone. And he described this: it is chosen by God to build the church, and the two words there that describe chosen and precious. In other words, the church that is being built upon Jesus as the cornerstone is precious to God because Jesus gave his life for the church. Therefore, the church is precious to God. That's what makes the church precious. God says, I love the church. I love the church so much that I gave my son to save it, to save every one of us. You see, this is an interesting idea for us to grapple with. Because in our world today, somehow, maybe as you see the news or maybe in our experiences, that a thought that you might hear that people say is that, hey, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Christianity, but, you know, I do not like the church. I do not like Christians. And somehow I hear this more and more, especially in this generation. Maybe that some of us, you experience hurt before. Maybe someone in your life make a careless, sweeping statement about you, and you took offense, and you felt hurt before. Maybe that some, you expected people to care for you. You expected your spiritual family to care for you at your deepest and hardest time. But they didn't do that. And you were disappointed. You were disappointed at how the people are at and really treat you. Maybe our experience of church has caused us to feel that, you know, it is distasteful. Or maybe we look at the news. And the interesting thing is that sometimes when you look at the news, is that it might tell you that, wow, you know, you can see how somehow, how disgusting, how ugly the church is. We hear of how mega churches get into financial issues. We heard of how pastors abuse power. We have church leaders having integrity issues, getting into affairs, having sexual misconduct with their church members. And you look at that and you're like, wow, the church that's supposed to be beautiful, that's supposed to be valuable to God, it's something that is ugly and disgusted. And it's easy for us to sometimes, when you look through news and you get depressed and you say, wow, you know, why are we coming here, you know, as a church? And what's the hope that we have? And that's why we need to look at the scripture. And that's why we need to look at the church. We need to look at our life group members. We need to look at our life group, not through the eyes of the world, not through the eyes of fallen human sinners, but through the eyes of God. Because the world will tell you that, hey, you know, we don't like organized religion. You know, Chinese Asia published an article on that, you know, the young generation is more and more adverse towards organized religion. I'm more against that. You know, wow, people are failing, you know, this thing doesn't work. But how does God see the church? How does God see the church? And to God, because Jesus is the cornerstone, because God sent His Son to die for the church, therefore the church is valuable. The church is still God's idea to carry His good news to the broken, to the lost, to the world out there. In other words, there can be a new hope when we think about the church, because we look at this idea, we don't just sing about it, that Jesus is the cornerstone. When we say that He is the cornerstone, He's the one, the anchor of the church, He gave His life for the church, we can have a new hope. Why? Because Jesus is our Savior. Because Jesus is our Redeemer. He is still sanctifying the church. The church needs the cleansing blood of Christ. The very same thing, you think about that, the very same thing that makes the church ugly, which is the sin of man, is the same thing that Jesus came to die for, to rescue us from, to change us from, to take away in Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25 to 27, it talks about husband, love your wives. It talks about the love towards from the husband to the wife, just as mirroring how Christ loved the church. How does Christ love the church? He gave Himself for her. Jesus gave Himself for us. To what? To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain, without wrinkle, or any other blemish. Woo! Holy and blameless. So when we say that Jesus is our cornerstone, we are saying that Jesus is our Savior. He is making the bride, every one of us. He is making the church pure day by day. He is sanctifying us, transforming us more and more into His image. It doesn't look like it now, but we can say, we can look at the news, we can look at our experience and say, oh man, how sinful, how disgusting. But Jesus is not looking at that. Jesus is looking at us and saying, let me wash you clean. Let me change you. Let me sanctify you. And this is what He's doing to the church. And when we know this, when we believe this, this gives us a new perspective to look at your life group members, to look at your past experiences, to look at the church, the imperfect church, to see hope, to see that it is still beautiful in God's eyes. It is still the entity that God will use to bring His glory to the ends of the earth. And we are not there yet. It is fine. That's why He is here. That's why we are following Him. He is still perfecting it. So when we look at our life group members, we can see it with hope because we can see God's transformation work in them. Man might fail, but we can trust in God's transformation work. Can I hear an amen from the church? Amen? You know, it is not sinners that make the church beautiful. It is the cross that makes the church beautiful. It is because we see the gospel, we see the work of Christ in us, in every one of us. That's what makes the church beautiful, that perfecting our imperfection. You know, as I was preparing this sermon, I got distracted, you know, because there was tons of news and messages and pictures of the sea of red all over Facebook and in my messages. You know, we see the news report of what happened, right? That Liverpool came to Singapore. And I never knew the Liverpool fans in Singapore are so hardcore, man. You know, the singing video, you know, that I don't know if you've seen that, the fans gathering in Kallang Wave Mall, you know, and singing and, you know, cheering on, and the banners all over the stadium, waving, swimming across the stadium, you know. But nothing beats this man, Mr. Rajpal Singh, who is the president of the Liverpool fan club. He says that he supported the club for 41 years and he regularly flies from Singapore to watch the match. He said that he's a season ticket holder in Singapore, you know, that he flies there to watch the match. And he says the magic never diminishes. The magic always grows after 41 years. As a proud Singaporean, having the team you love in your own backyard is nothing short of magical. It's a dream come true. Not only just for everybody else, myself included, I got excited when I heard the news that Liverpool was coming. I know that some of you who are Liverpool fans, you know, you're smiling as you listen to this, you know, and you are, something happens in your heart, oh, you know, my club, you know. Mr. Rajpal Singh is a true fan. And I can almost imagine, you know, God is like the fanboy of the church. And he is like, come on, you know, this is my church. This is my people. This is my beloved one. And even though we are not perfect yet, even though we are not there yet, and that's why we come to him, he is cleaning us, he is changing us, he's transforming us, and that's why we need him. And for every one of us, we have to see the church, not through the eyes of the news, our past experience, but we have to see the church through the eyes of God, that we are precious in his sight. Because the gospel is working in every one of us. That's why we can have hope. So turn to your neighbor. Seriously, tell them that the gospel is working in you. And then tell them that that's why you are going to be even more beautiful. I know some of you guys are like, I can't say that, man. So today, I hope God will restore your trust and hope in the church. I hope God will really, listen to this. I hope God will change certain perspective that you have about the church through his eyes, to see things from his perspective. Look at the beauty of the church, because that's what God is saying. Because Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. And this leads me to point number two, which is even more baffling. Sometimes think about that. God chose to build the church using believers as its living stone. Wow. Jesus builds the church. God builds the church with Jesus as the cornerstone. And now he's using us as believers, as the living stones to build the church. It says in verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. And this is a result of our relationship with God. When we come to him, when we come to the living stone, we don't just come to church and stone. We become a living stone. That's right. We become living stones, you know. So in other words, what is the church? If someone asks you, what is the church? And tell them the church is, they say all these things, they see that, you know, things are not perfect. They say the church are God's people. The church is God's people. We, the living stone, we are the church. In other words, the church is not a building. The church is not a program. The church is not just an organization that you join and you identify yourself with. When the church is not alive, when the church is boring, when the church is stale, it is not because our program is not interesting. It's not because the worship is not singing your favorite song or my wife is not leading. It is not because of that. It is because the people of God are dead. And we need to come before God. We come before a living God. That's why we are alive. And because we are alive, the church is alive. The church is alive. That's why we come together. No matter how the song is, no matter what it is, no matter how the mood is, we come before him, we sing, we praise, we worship him because he has made us alive. He is our living hope. And that's what needs to be revived, us, the people of God. And now you look at this. What is God doing with us, the living stones? Now we come alive in him. Now we come to him. We are alive. What is God doing to this? You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. In other words, after you are being saved, each of us, you see, He's trying to make us holy in Him. If you don't get it, well, too bad, you know. After we're being saved, He makes us alive in Him. And the idea that some of us we get is that, hey, we are like stones in a pile of, we are like just one brick in another pile. You know, we're just here. You know, we can do life on by ourselves, on our own. But no, Jesus says that, hey, now that you, as you come to me, the living stones, what happens? I am building you. You're being built into the house to be priests, to be people serving, living, and growing, connected to the cornerstone. And not just that, you are connected to one another. He's building each of us brick by brick. Our identity as a Christian is not just as an individual stone. We are not meant to be just a pile of stones. Our identity as a Christian is meant to be part of the spiritual house, because He is doing that to us. You are not alive to be by yourself. You are alive so that you can be part of a house to do His work, to serve His church, to serve one another, to be His church. And that's what God is calling us. And some people say that, hey, I don't believe in organized religion. You know, I think that maybe it's, I can still grow by myself. I need not come to church. I can watch church online. You know, I know not all are like that because some of us are sick. But you say, I can watch church online and I can still grow. I can watch my sermon. I can pray. I can read my Bible and I can still grow. But God says that is not. Because you don't like organized religion. He is organizing you into His church. How can we say that we are just a brick on our own? We are a brick in the house. You have to say the title of the sermon. God is the builder, and He can't build the house. He don't build the house by Himself. He's using us as living stone and to build with Jesus as the cornerstone. So now the question is this: why? Why He used us as living stones to build the house? You see, it all relates back to, if you can tell, there's one brick here that's different, right? That's why. So it all relates back to the cornerstone. And maybe most of us here are not in construction, or this is something in the olden times. In constructing a house in ancient times, the cornerstone has great significance in building. And I quote from the most popular encyclopedia online. It's called Wikipedia. It says that the cornerstone is the first stone in the construction of a foundation. All other stones will be set in reference to this stone, thus determining the position of the entire structure. So the builder who is building the house is very careful that the first stone, the cornerstone that's being laid, is the most important one. And of course, God lays the best stone, which is Jesus Christ Himself. And every other stone that is being built, we are the living stones. We are being built so that we align to the cornerstone. And so that we are built with each other to align each other together, aligning to the cornerstone. In other words, as believers, we must align ourselves to the cornerstone. Every believer is to become more and more and more like Jesus, so that we become the spiritual house that shines forth His glory. Are we seeing that? If you're not seeing that, let me give you a contemporary analogy that some of you might understand. NDP is coming. You'll hear the parade commander say this: we need to kekanan durus to Jesus. You know what's that? Kekanan durus means, you know, in the formation, there's a right marker. He'll say, kekanan durus! Everyone will, like, you know, do this. And then everyone align to the right marker to make sure, and if the right marker sways, you know, okay, then everyone like, hey, stop it, you know. So we have to align to this right marker. And because of that, the whole parade can be in order, in line, as one formation. And that's an interesting picture and idea. And this becomes the reason why in our discipleship process, we make it a point, a crucial step that every believer must take is step B. After we acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have to belong to a local church. Because it's this process of becoming and committing yourself to a local church, to the church. So in other words, church membership It's not just about signing some papers, going for some class, but church membership is allowing yourself not to be a brick on our own, but allowing ourselves to be connected, to be committed to the spiritual house, to say that this is the house that I belong. I will grow in it, I will mature in it, I will serve one another, and I will align to the cornerstone. And that's what church membership is about. It is choosing to commit that through this organization, I commit to the people in the organization. You don't just go through church activities alone, but we do it with spiritual family. We attend classes together, we learn together, we do parenting together, we grow old together, we laugh at each other's broken teeth and everything. By belonging to a life group, you give permission to others to keep you accountable for growth. And that's what church membership is about. That's what coming to service and life group is about. It is not just another program. There is great purpose in that. So there's some of us, you're not members of our church yet. I pray that you will seriously consider and make Hope Singapore your home church, your local church, because I hope that you can fulfill God's vision and God's purpose in your life that He has for you in this church by fulfilling and obeying the Great Commission together. We are not perfect, but we want to invite every one of you to journey together through the ups and through the down. And precisely, the church is not perfect. That's why we need and we welcome every one of you so that we can come to Jesus together to be aligned to the cornerstone. In one of the life groups that are in West Center, this life group called Hong Ka One is one that I am really proud of and really glad at their growth over the last couple of years. And they are very serious about spiritual growth, about aligning with making sure that everyone grow together. The life group leader told me that he makes sure that in his life group, there is a structure that ensures that the older believers take care of the younger believers to make sure that whoever the new comes in, he helps them, he rolls up to make sure that to know where they are in the ABCD framework and help them to journey, to grow, to mature, to understand why they need to serve, why they need to belong, why they need to disciple others, and to encourage one another to do that. And he shares about this sister that's life has changed, and I want to share with all of us. He said one such story is a sister who is working as an auditor. And during the audit peak period, she used to skip live group, citing having workload and tight schedules as a reason. And we all know that if you have auditor friends, that it's really challenging. It's really not easy, especially during those seasons. However, after seeing how the live group was bonded through meeting up regularly and consistent encouragement from the live group and personal follow-up, you see that personal follow-up thing there? The sister decided to prioritize coming to live group. She would intentionally take a few hours off from work at night to attend live group virtually and then continue to work after that. She shared that it is the first time that she didn't miss a live group session through the audit peak period. And she has been coming to live group consistently since then. And recently, she has responded to stepping up to serve more in the live group as a core team and to disciple people. So let's give Hong Ka One a big hand, West Center as well, you know. Give Hong Ka One a big hand. God has designed in such a way, friends, brothers and sisters, your Christian maturity, your Christian formation, your Christian growth doesn't happen in isolation. It happens in the spiritual house with fellow living stones so that we can align together. So no matter how busy you are, I want to encourage every one of us, no matter how busy life can get, no matter how many things are there on your to-do list, no matter what life station you might go through in your life, make life group, make coming to service a priority. Because it's not just attendance, it is commitment, it is belonging. It's not just about coming to church, it's not just about attending church, it's about committing and belonging to a church. That is when growth can happen. That is how growth can happen. There's a small group of you. I would say small group because I know that most of us here belong to a life group. the small group of you that you're not, you just come to our church and you're not really belonging to a life group yet. You don't really connect. Or maybe some of you, you belong, but you're not really belonging because, again, maybe life group is something of a secondary thing in your life. I want to encourage you, you know, to really take time to think about your spiritual growth. Not take time to think about coming to life group, because if you are serious about your spiritual growth, yes, we are serious about knowing Jesus more in your life, to become more and more like Him, the best way, or rather one of the best way, is to be connected to a life group, belong to a life group. So what you can do is that if you're watching online, you know, you can type into the group chat and say, that, hey, I want to belong. What can I do? And then some people can get in touch with you. And those of us here, you know, you can get in touch with our connectors outside, or you can just turn around, in fact, to someone neighbor around you and say, hey, I'm new here. How can I belong to a life group? And I believe that person will connect with you. If the person say, I don't know, turn to another person, all right? But chances are the person, I mean, I'm also new, all right? Then let's do it together, okay? And we are here to conclude with the very last point. God builds the church with Christ as the cornerstone, and He's building it with every one of us. The materials He's using is us, the living stones, and He's doing something. He's building us to become into a spiritual house. Peter uses two words, a spiritual house. He chose these two words for a very specific reason to tell us some things here. Spiritual. It's not a physical house. It is not a physical place. But the church, the people of God, we are a spiritual house. It is one that God's presence dwells. So even no matter where we gather, in any part of the world, you know, God's presence is there when we gather, when we worship Him, when we look to Him. And the other word is house. The word house, in the Greek word oikos, can be understood in two ways. Number one, a building where the family lives. It's a household, and we are part of a spiritual household. We're part of a spiritual family, and that's why we call each other brothers and sisters. And you know, in this spiritual family, we don't just come to the house like a hotel. Some of your parents say that. We come, it's our house. We own the house. We don't throw our clothes anywhere. We take our clothes, we put it into the laundry basket, and the parents say, amen. Thank you. Someone really said that, right? I'm not alone, right? We own the house. And Pastor Tim will talk more about that the next week. And the second word is what I want to focus on. The word temple. And the word oikos also means temple. Where in the Old Testament, the temple of God is where the presence of God dwells. And it's a very significant thing. Because they worship Him, and they get to communicate with Him, and they get to experience Him. They go to the temple, and they meet Him. It's where the presence of God dwells. And when Peter mentions this, that we are being built up into a spiritual oikos, a spiritual temple, he is comparing, he is alluding to the Old Testament temple, one that you see in the picture there, a one that is grand, a one that is majestic. But here, in today, in our world today, God is not building the physical temple, He is building a new temple. See, I lay a new stone. Jesus came, a new cornerstone. And He's still building this house. In this new house, in this new temple, the materials are of greater worth. It is no longer just about precious stones and bricks, and it is of materials that are far greater worth. Jesus as the cornerstone, the very Son of God, the first stone that was being laid, and every one of us, His redeemed ones, the living stones as the material for the house. And this house is not completed yet. It is still being built because there are still people out there that are still being saved. They are still coming to our church. They are still being brought into the kingdom of God, and they are being built into the house. And it is not done yet. And every one of us, we are going to be priests in the temple. In the past, only a selected few are the priests in the temple. Only the selected few get to meet with God, get to be there. But now, here, in today, every one of us, we are priests in the new temple. We are serving Him together. We are worshiping Him together. And our worship, it is not the burnt offering of animals, of incense. Our worship, church, is the giving of our lives. Our worship is the giving of our love for Him, our serving to one another, our giving of our lives to Him fully. That is our worship to Him. I end with this point because it brings us and it closes something even more glorious. That the church in our mind that we should have, it is not just a place that we go to. It is not just this building and just these people. It is something even more glorious, even more majestic than the physical temple, than what the people of God has ever seen before. And when every one of us, as our lives get transformed by Jesus, as we align ourselves to the cornerstone, we will shine forth His glory. We will show people of who He is in our lives. My friends, the church is not my idea. It's not the pastor's idea. The church is God's idea. It's God's idea that we are the living stones, that He will choose us and use us to build His church with Christ as the cornerstone. So I want to encourage every one of us, don't just come to church. Don't just tell your kids, I want to come attend. Let's go to church, just attend the church. Yes, it's a place we go to. But more than that, the church is a place that you need to belong and you need to commit your lives into. So with that, shall we stand and let's worship God together. Come, let's worship Him. Let's look to Him because Christ is our cornerstone.
On nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Amen. We declare this, church.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Sing my hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, He's the Lord of all. He's the Lord of all when darkness seems to hide His face. I rest on His unchanging grace. is Lord, Lord of all.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your work on the cross. Because of that, oh God, we have new life in you. Because of that, we are living stones in your house, in your church. We come alive in you, oh God. Hallelujah. Today, I believe God wants to do a new work in us. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, God wants to speak, God wants to work. The Holy Spirit wants to do a renewing work in some of us. Because there's some of us here, you struggle with how you see the church. Probably because of certain hurts in the past, certain disappointments, certain expectations of people that is not met, or maybe we ourselves are the one. We have hurt people. We never live up to other expectations. And, you know, we all are imperfect. We've been through imperfect experiences. And today, I believe the Holy Spirit just wants to do a work in us. Especially, I just sense very strongly, especially some of us, you have been in church for a long time, decades in our church. And today God wants to do a renewed work. He's saying that, see the church, not from your past, see the church with Christ as the cornerstone, the living hope of our lives. See the church as the future of how God is seeing of the church. And with that, push forward, strive forward, and make the church to be what God is wanting to make it to be. And God is calling you, every one of us, and especially those who have been around for long, God is calling you, God is wanting to do a work in you, a renewed perspective. So today, I want to pray for you. Maybe some of you as well, you come from other churches, and you've joined our church, and maybe there are certain baggages that you have. You know, I just pray that God will help you see that to not trust in people more than trust in Him, but to trust in Him, to trust in what He is doing, to believe in the power of the gospel that is working powerfully in the church. And because of that, we can have hope. Because of that, we can trust in Him. So if that is you, I want to pray for you. If that is you, we can respond together. And let's talk to God together. You know who you are. God is doing a new work. God is changing. God is helping you to see a renewed perspective. See the church, not from your past, not from the world, but see the church from God's perspective. He is a fanboy of the church. He believes in the church because Christ is the cornerstone of the church. The gospel is at work in everyone's life. Jesus, help us to see the church from the Father's perspective, oh God. Help us to see the church with you as a cornerstone. That Lord, it is your idea, it is your plan, it is your will to use the church to bring forth your glory, to bring forth your plan, to do the Great Commission in the world. And Lord, help us to trust in your word. Help us to trust in your word more than our experience, more than what we have gone through, oh God. And Lord, we want to put our hope not in people, but in the living hope who is working powerfully in every one of us. Help us have hope today to see Hope Church, to see Hope Singapore in a renewed way. Because God, you are still working powerfully in every one of us. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to speak to some of you here very practically. There's some of you here that God is challenging you to choose to commit to the church more, to choose to commit to a local church, or in fact to our church, to make life group, to make service, to make your spiritual life a priority. It's not just about coming, it's not just about attending, but it's really about belonging and committing to the church. And today, God wants to speak to you, and that is you. As all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, I just want to give you some time to respond. Although it's a very practical response, but I want you to respond practically by lifting your hands, not to me, but to God, so that it is a sign of response to Him. Whether you're in centers or you're here, even if you're online, you can respond to this. If this is you, you say that, I want to commit. I know that church has been something secondary, but today onwards, I want to make church a priority. I want to belong and commit to this place. If that is you, As I count to three, I want you to lift your hands up and I want to pray for you. If you're ready, on the count of three, one, two, three. Just put your hands up, put your hands up, put your hands up. Yep, I see many of these hands. You're responding to Him. You're responding to what He's doing in you. You know you're spreading the Word of God, that you want to be built into the house, not a brick on your own. You want to be built into the house because that's God's plans for you. Father, I pray, oh God, for all hands I raise, every one of my brothers and sisters in our centers, in our here, in Axis. Lord, I pray, oh God, that you help them see how important, oh God, their spiritual life is, how important, oh God, that they want, that they need to come to you, they need to grow in you, and it is your plan, it is your will, that, Lord, you build them into the spiritual house as living stones, oh God. Whether is it belonging to the life group, whether is it signing up for membership to commit to the local church, Lord, I pray for everyone, oh God, that they'll put aside every reason, put aside every busyness, to commit to you, to follow you. And Lord, as they do that, show yourself to them. As they do that, oh God, let them experience the gospel in their lives. Let them experience who you are and make them to become more and more and more like Jesus. And that's our prayer. We commit them into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to encourage you, those of us who raised your hands, who responded, I want to encourage you to talk to your life group leaders about this so that they can help you, whether it's becoming a member, whether it's to really serve the life group more, to step up the life group, to do something more. You know, we want to help you to journey forward in what God wants for you. And there's a last group of you here, you do not know Jesus personally yet. Maybe you're here in our church for the first time or you're watching with us online. And I want to give you this chance as well to make a decision to come to Jesus, to believe in Jesus. And there's a prayer that we invite people to pray this prayer together. And this prayer is an entry into a new relationship with Him. And what this means is that you confess and you admit that you are a sinner. And we need Jesus, who came, died for our sins, and the Savior of our lives. And we put our trust in Him, we give our lives to Him. And that's what this prayer is about. And today, if that is your desire, you can pray this together with us. And those of us in our centers and here, can I invite you to just join me to pray this prayer together with our friends who are praying this for the first time. So let's close our eyes, let's pray together, and let's pray this prayer together. Say together with me, say, Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. And I want to thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Right now, I invite you to come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Help me to become the kind of person I was created to be. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, church, let's give Jesus a big hand. Come on.